Have it that bad, huh? Okay, so we are now in our community. This is where we come to rest. Not about the words, not about the book. It's about the fact that we came together to join tonight. That's the most important thing that we can do to solve every single thing we think we're going through. We have to join. We have to join. So it's important to take a breath if you want to go into an expanded state of consciousness. Because when you're out in the fearful world, you have a tendency to constrict, to attack us, to expand. Your resurrection. It's time for your reawakening. It's time for you to remember who you really are. It's time to remember that you are love and not fear. You are love and not guilt. You are love and not sin. You are love and not depression. You are love. You are not sickness. You are not weak. You are love. You are such a powerful soul that you decide to take on a physical body and come into the most intense playground in the universe. You know how when you go to the carnival and they have that scary ride of all? And that's the one that everybody, you know, who really got some guts, that's the one they go for. Guess what?
What?
You're on the scariest ride of all. And you're laughing.
Yeah.
Only the most advanced, most powerful, masochistic souls come here. We take S&M to a whole new level. Spiritual masochism. And Lord knows we've gotten plenty of spankings, haven't we? When I need music, I don't try to control my body. It's amazing how even you get older, you lose control. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe anything you hear tonight. You don't have to welcome it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. Some of it's going to be hard to believe. Some of it's going to be startling. But I'm not asking you to judge. If you use it, you'll see that it works. If you use it, you will see that it works. Divine improv. That's what this is. This is divine improv. So what I'm gonna do tonight? I'm going to follow spirit more than I ever have before, which means I might be told to jump around in different places in the material. And even though I'm very familiar with it, it might take me a second. And so what I want to ask you to do is, when I'm doing that, I'd like you to, like, just close your eyes or whatever, and just breathe. Like, just use it as a time to integrate what I've said before that. That way I don't feel pressured, which will help me get to the page faster. And then you having the chance to chew, it's kind of like swallow the food that you just ate. Is that cool? Because more and more this year, I'm going to attempt to allow myself to be more and more spontaneous and more authentic of who I am. There's only one little problem with that. I don't know myself. So I'm just as interested in this discovery as you will. And I hope to see the same thing in you. Nothing worse than dull, boring students. And dull, boring teachers. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. All right. First page I'm going to start with is called Sickness is a Defense Against the Truth. So page 257 in the workbook. The Course in Miracles, I'm going to show you some secrets after 27 years teaching this stuff. The Course in Miracles is only talking about love or fear, peace or conflict. So when it talks about sickness, it's not just talking about physical illness. When it's talking about sickness, sickness is any form of lack of peace. Sickness, according to the Course, is any form of lack of peace. Sickness isn't just a disease of the body. It's any form of lack of peace. So if you have any form of lack of peace right now, you're sick in that area. Some people have financial sickness. Your finance is about to croak. Some people have relationship sickness. A couple of restraining orders out on you right now. You know what I mean? Some people have physical sickness. Some people have spiritual. So if wherever you're experiencing a lack of peace, that's what the Course would define as sickness. Now, what I'm about to share with you tonight will explain to you where every single problem that you think you have comes from and how to get rid of it. That's for a suggested donation of $5. Yeah, if you don't think that's a problem, y'all got problems. You know what I'm saying? And the system again, that's good to you. You know what I mean? Come on. Jesus Christ. So, if you want to get rid of the problem that you have, the first sentence in this paragraph says it, which is, no one can heal unless he understands what purpose sickness seems to serve. So you're not going to heal that situation that's causing you any kind of upset until you understand the purpose that is serving for you to have it. You're not going to heal it until you know the purpose you have for having it. And you, that's anything that you're using in your own life right now. That's what I love about this class, because everybody can heal themselves to what's being said by applying it to their own form of the illusion. So we all got our own special forms of fear. Okay? So, if you want to get rid of that sickness or that fear, the Spirit is telling us that we need to understand the purpose of it. He says, for then, when you really understand the purpose of suffering, this is how you can tell. When you really understand the purpose for any kind of suffering or pain that you go through, you will understand that there's no purpose in you going through it. So until you say there's no purpose to me going through this crap, then you don't understand what the purpose of it is. Don't try to understand that your brain is closed. Just hear it. But some of y'all got it.
Yeah.
Because when you become conscious, you know there is no purpose in your suffering. You wouldn't want to suffer for any reason. So you don't really understand the purpose of something until you understand that it has no purpose if it's bringing you pain. As long as you think it has a purpose, you don't understand what its purpose is. Okay. Then it says, now, since it's causeless and it doesn't have a meaningful intent of any kind, it can't be at all. When you see that there's no purpose in it, then healing is automatic. Healing is automatic when you see that there's no purpose in it. That situation will be healed automatically as soon as you see there's no purpose in your fear, there's no purpose in your pain, there's no purpose in your lack, there's no purpose in your sickness, there's no purpose in your loneliness, there's no purpose in your depression, there's no purpose in it. And when you realize there's no purpose in it because you don't deserve to go through that stuff, because you're a holy child of God, you're an innocent, loving being, you don't deserve to go through that stuff, you deserve peace and happiness and bliss and love, then you go, there's no purpose in it. And then since there's no purpose in it, and the only reason why it was there was because you thought there was a purpose in it, it automatically disappears. Because it's only there because you think there's a purpose in it anyway. How do you know you think there's a purpose in it? Because I bet there was a part of you that wanted to defend it.
Well, it is definitely. You should have something. I can understand you got to go through some kind of something. Yeah. You can just spit it. You can't, you know, you got something going to make you strong.
So obviously you're not a person that doesn't understand there's no purpose in your pain. But what you bitching about? What are you bitching about?
Right.
If you want to defend the pain, you want the pain, you got the pain, you're getting what you want, you ought to be glad, thank you, God. I'm suffering today. Oh, I got another cracker relationship. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I got this diarrhea. Thank you, Lord. All right, this is deep. The Course of Miracles, the reason why it goes slow is because, first of all, you see the humor of it. Mm-hmm. And second of all, the truth is in every sentence of it, so it doesn't make any difference. You could use one of these sentences and use it all the time, and it would take you to happiness and bliss. Mm-hmm. Just one of them. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to jump down a little bit first. So healing is automatic. It dispels this meaningless illusion by the same approach that carries all your meaningless illusions to the truth and merely leaves them there to disappear. In other words, what you're going through is not an accident. This sickness is not an accident. This problem is not an accident. Whatever you think you're going through is not an accident. That's the next thing to realize. What does that mean? It means that, like all defenses, what you're going through right now that's upsetting you is an insane device for self-deception. You're using the thing that you're going through to fool yourself in some way. You're using the pain that you're going through to fool yourself in some way. You don't have to believe this, you don't have to accept this, you don't have to welcome this. Some of this you're going to find hard to believe and quite startling. You're not asked to judge it at all. And if you, right now you might be getting freaked out because you're trying to judge it. Mm-hmm. You're trying to analyze it. Mm-hmm. Don't analyze it. I'm telling you, this is a trip, man. He says, and like all the rest of your defenses, the stuff you put yourself through, or every kind of sickness or pain that you got, the purpose of it is to hide reality, attack reality, change reality, render reality in depth, distort reality, twist reality. What you're basically trying to do is reduce all the reality to a little pile of unassembled parts. Have a good day. What does that mean? The aim of everything you go through that makes you upset, the aim of all your defenses, the aim of all your plans, the aim of all the things that you think upset you in any way, the purpose of all of that is to keep the truth from being whole. We're trying to convince ourselves that the truth isn't true. The truth says you are invulnerable. The truth says you are spirit. The truth says you are love. The truth says you only deserve happiness. The truth says you create your own reality. The truth says you are free. The truth says you are unlimited. The truth says you are more than what you think you are. So, I'm going through all this crap to prove to myself I couldn't possibly be that strong.
Right.
I couldn't possibly be that cool.
Wow.
I couldn't possibly, especially if I grew up being told I was just a bunch of crap just to begin with. I'm not enough, or I'm insecure, or I'm fearful. I got a perception of myself that I'm weak, and I got a perception of myself that things can't go right for me. I got a perception of myself that I'm on my own, and that has become my illusion, my defense, my perception of myself. Then when you tell me the truth, which is something opposite of that, then I want to be right. So I'll just show you that you couldn't possibly be right about all of this stuff that I'm saying about my life is true. I really do have this problem. Don't you dare say it's an illusion. I'm going to prove to you I'm not the unlimited child of God. I got a toothache. I'm going to prove to you I'm not unconditional love. I just smacked somebody upside the head last week. The Course is saying everything we're doing is nothing but our attempt to convince ourselves we couldn't possibly be as incredible as Spirit said we are.
Mm-hmm.
This is so deep, and it's so insane to do this to yourself. We came up with the most ultimate solution of all, which was to forget that we're doing it to ourselves. What a foolproof plan. I screw myself and then pretend that I don't even remember doing it to myself, and then I blame it on all of you. Oh, this is a good plan. That's very original, but it's good. I got the suspicion that some other people using that plan out there. I got to say, this is a pretty popular plan. Projection, blame, and anger. Projection, blame, and anger. Projection, blame, and anger. Projection, blame, and anger. It's your fault. 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 Okay? Then the court says, now the defense or the thing that you're going through right now that's got you upset and not thinking you're this unlimited prosperous being, he said your defense is not unintentional.
Uh-huh.
In other words, you don't do what you're doing to yourself without being aware that you're doing it to yourself. You're not doing anything that you're doing to yourself without being completely aware that you're doing it to yourself. That's what this book says.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but what happens is the problem you think you're going through is the secret magic wand you wave when truth appears to threaten what you would believe.
Oh,
I say it again. When it looks like I'm about to accept the truth, when it looks like I'm about to realize that I'm loved, when I'm really about to go into this new being that I say I want to be, my old self flips out the magic wand, gives me some kind of situation that proves that I couldn't possibly have the kind of peace that this spirit is promising me or that the truth is promising me. Soon as I get ready to be proven wrong, I come up with something to make myself look like I'm right.
Yeah.
And the course calls it your secret magic wand that you wave every time the truth looks like it's about to be true. Like the instance, the truth says you can trust me, or we can trust each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I basically believe you can't trust people, and I built a whole identity around that.
Mm.
So I'm going to create something that makes me feel like I can't trust people, so I'll meet the biggest crook in town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To prove to myself that I can't trust people, I'll overlook everybody that's loving and honest and cool and be attracted to the one person that's going to screw me so that I can be right about people not being any good, because if they really were good, then I might have to actually open my heart and trust people, and then I'd be showing up and not really being able to love. Because right now I'm claiming I really am loving and just don't have the right person. So I really have to step up, you know, because the right person has to show up, because y'all certainly not worthy of it. So you surround yourself with people that will never test you to love. Because they don't seem worthy of it. And if they were worthy of it, you'd have to love. And that's what he said we're most afraid of, is loving each other.
Yeah.
So we need all the justification in the world not to do the thing we're most afraid of.
Mm.
So if I'm surrounded by people I don't like, then I can feel justified in not loving them, and then I don't have to ever open my heart, and then I can feel like I'm a good person without even doing a damn thing.
Oh. Woo! Where are you going?
So if you got a problem right now, you got something you're afraid of, you're experiencing some kind of lack, he's saying to us that every time the truth seems to threaten what you would believe, you're going to come up with something to make yourself think that the old way you used to think is the right way to think. So whenever a person's trying to change, and there's a part of them that's afraid of change, it's going to create something that would justify that person not making the change. So you're getting ready to make the whole new, you're getting ready to go in the new direction, and a part of you feels threatened by it, so it's going to try to create something in your life to make you doubt everything that you say you're trying to do right now. And then the court says that these defenses and plans that we come up with seem to be unconscious only because of the rapidity with which we choose to use it.
Oh,
and that second or even less in which the choice is made, you recognize exactly what you would attempt to do, and then you proceed to think that it's done. I mean, who but you evaluates the threat? Who but you decides that escape is necessary from the threat? Who but you is the one that's setting up a series of defenses and plans to reduce the threat that you judge as real? You're not doing all of this unconsciously, but after you do it, your plan requires that you must forget you made the plan. And when you forget that you made the plan to do yourself in, then it looks like it's external to your own intent. And when you're not taking responsibility for what you're creating for yourself, you say it looks like a happening beyond your state of mind. It looks like it's some kind of an outcome with a real effect on you, but it doesn't look like it's you the one that's doing it to you. So the plan is for you not to recognize that you're the one doing it to you. The plan is we're not to recognize that we're the ones that's creating our reality. The plan is that we're saying our old selves by continuing to believe that what's happening to us is being caused by something outside of ourselves, and that way we can still keep a part of this whole thought system that's kicking all of our butt that none of us really like and feel fulfilled in. None of us is totally fulfilled in this place. You know you're not. And so the court is saying to us, well, the only reason why it's being held in place, Earl, is because you were getting really close to the truth and you felt really threatened, so you tried to create something for yourself to make you believe none of this cool stuff could really work. I'm afraid of relationships. I'm afraid of relationships, but I'm really trying to open up to a relationship. But I'm afraid of a relationship. I'm really trying to open up to a relationship. And then could I really have one? I'm scared. Could I really have a person in my life that I really appreciate, that really appreciates me? I'm really scared. I'm used to being with people that I'm really afraid of and I really don't love. So what I'm going to do is, when I'm getting close to some real love, I'm going to whip out my secret magic wand and go out with a bitch. See, I knew I couldn't trust. See. Then I would have overlooked every cool, wonderful being on the way to being right. You see what I'm saying? And you can y'all can give me equal. Y'all can say bastard or whatever y'all need to say too.
Oh, okay.
I am not politically correct, so y'all need to get out of here and be bad. Don't give me the truth that'll save my soul unless it's politically correct. Don't give me the truth that'll free me unless you say it just right. Because I'm a word judge, you know. Better use the right word. They might say that to me. So what I'm saying to you is, everything I'm going through right now and everything you're going through right now that's keeping you fulfilling peace right now is a plan you made up to convince yourself that you don't deserve what you say you deserve. You made the decision to experience this so fast that you don't even remember that you made the decision to get sick, the decision to be broke, the decision to be alone, and the decision to be lonely, the decision not to know love. He said, we made the decision to do it to ourselves so fast that we don't even remember doing it. And not only that, we made the decision that we were going to forget we made the plan to begin with, and then we were going to walk around through life acting like everything is being done to us and we don't have any control over anything that's going on. He said, that's our plan. It's called a miserable plan. It goes something like, if you would change, I'd be happy. If you change, I'd be happy. What I'm going through is your fault. If you change, I'd be happy. If you change, I'd be happy. What I'm going through is your fault. If you change. See, that's the plan. So that's the plan. The plan is for us to not have what we want by acting as if it's being created by something outside of ourselves. And then that guarantees that you'll keep the same old personality you've always had, going through the same old stuff you've always gone through, because you still believe exactly the way the world does, which is that you are a victim of it. He says, there's not but two plans, the plan of I am responsible, I am the creator of my experience, and the plan of I am a victim, I am perpetrated against, and I am defeated. He says, those are only two thought systems going on. I went, whoa. So you got two choices, brother. You're either the creator of your experience because you're a child of God, an unlimited being, or you're just a victim of everything around you, which in that case means that everything that's happened to you, you didn't have nothing to do with, it wasn't your fault, so why are you feeling guilty? So a total victim could feel innocent too. If they wouldn't just fake it. If I really am at the effect of all of you, and I have nothing to do with what happens to me, and everything that happens to me is something that you did to me, then what am I feeling guilty about? Mm-hmm. I'm not responsible for nothing that's happening to me. I don't have to feel bad about anything that's going wrong in my life because it was your fault. So something tells me we must be somewhere between the two thought systems. We don't want to take full responsibility, but we won't give ourselves the innocence of feeling like we don't have nothing to do with what's happening to us either. No. But we act like we don't have nothing to do with what's happening to us.
We do.
Yeah. We even create the weather. Everything is our creation. This is a mass consciousness creation. We're all creating this.
I want everybody to get a little warm.
Right.
Yeah. So what I decided to do, what the course told me, this is what's really funny, it's kind of really kind of funny, but what the course told me basically was, Only one of us needed to remember the truth, and then everybody would, because we're all one anyway. Mm-hmm. So what goes into one of us goes into all of us. Like if I pour some water into a glass, it doesn't matter what part of the glass I pour the water in, all of it rises. Right? So the more we're getting the truth to ourselves, really everybody else is getting it whether they realize it or not. I went, okay, I can kind of get to that. Then the course went further than that. I said, well, okay, let's open your mind a little bit more. All right. So, okay, if that's true then you have to change for it looks like everybody else changes, because everybody else is going to be just an extension of what you're doing, right? So if you're never going to see the world change until you do, and that world of love that you're looking at is a reflection of your own change of mind, so as long as you're waiting for everything else to change before you'll be loving, then you'll never let yourself experience it, because it's coming from you deciding to be loving. And it doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. So you don't have to convert anybody else, teach anybody else, make anybody else do anything. As soon as you apply the truth to yourself, the entire world will change. And I'm like, oh, that's a heck of a statement, man. I'm used to thinking y'all need to change. That was much more comfortable than me. You too, right?
Yeah.
Don't y'all like to think that if I just change,
yeah. You know, if white folk change, the whole world would be better. Y'all know that. You know, if black folk change, it sure would be a better place. And we'd all be in bliss if there wasn't illegal immigrants. We just know the world would be a happy place then, boy. You know what I'm saying?
So the course is saying, that's our plan. Our plan is to see it as if something outside of ourselves needs to shift in order for us to be happy. We got really close to the truth, really started to love ourselves, really started to question the old things we used to believe about ourselves. Our old self said, hell no, I'm going to create something for you that'll make you not believe in any of this new stuff that you're trying to believe about yourself. And we're going to do it so fast that you're not going to even remember in making the decision to screw yourself, and you'll make it look like somebody else is screwing you, and you didn't have nothing to do with it, and that's the plan. Now, what's cool about this plan is that this plan will attract a lot of the people that's using the same plan, and then y'all can form a society. Now, the purpose of this society is to perpetuate the illusion that you're all believing in, so that you think there's no other alternative, and anybody who dares to say this is a bunch of crap, then they're crazy. Mm-hmm. We're gonna just say they're the insane ones. It's a foolproof plan. It's awesome. It's an awesome plan. It's a plan to fool yourself. And when you're really trying to change, you do come up with a plan to make yourself think that change isn't going to work. And this is what this book is trying to get us hip to, so that when we get ready to pull down on ourselves, we'll catch ourselves before we do it.
Yeah.
So that means as soon as you make a resolution to do anything, you should be on the lookout for you trying to introduce something into the situation and screw it up so that you won't have to do it, because you're afraid to get started in the first place, and all you need is a reason not to do it.
Exactly.
So you're going to create the crap at the beginning to stop yourself. Lord have mercy. Jesus, of course, a miracle. That's why I got hooked on this thing years ago. I was like, it was so straight up. It doesn't miss. And who in this room can honestly say they don't get what I'm saying? We get it, because we know we all do it. We all do it. We're not different. We just under the illusion that we're different, so that it can look like we're having a good time with somebody else. You're always masturbating. You've been playing with yourself since the day you were born. You're going to die playing with yourself. We yourself. We are the we yourself tribe. I am you. You are me. We are the same. We're pretending like we're different, but then we forgot the reason why we came up with the idea, which was to be creative and have fun and love each other in a brand new way. Mm-hmm. Enjoying this whole thing. You know? But somewhere along the line, I went on vacation and went down and got a job.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a vacation. I went down to the employment office. Uh-huh. Okay, so I'm going to go a little bit deeper. Y'all, can you go with me?
Yeah.
All right. Don't forget, I'm going to jump around. See? You never know. I bet you were sure what jump around meant. And that's what the courts keep telling me. Earl, lesson number three is you don't understand anything you see. What? That's the first, that's number three lesson in the workbook. You need to get, you don't understand anything you see. That's why you're upset. That's why it doesn't mean anything to you. That's why you're mad, because it has no meaning to you. If it had meaning to you, you wouldn't be angry. You'd be glad. A meaningless world causes fear. And if your world has no meaning to you, you're afraid all the time because you're in a meaningless experience. And it's reasonable that you would be afraid in an experience that's miserable. Who's asking you to be happy in a miserable life? That's not spiritual development because you're able to take a miserable experience and talk yourself into liking it. Spirituality would never request that. You would be in an environment that's natural to you, that naturally is conducive to your joy, naturally. A natural relationship is the one you're fighting in all the time. A natural job is the one that you're afraid to go to. A natural financial situation is the one that you're afraid about. If it's unnatural, you're in fear. If you're in an unnatural relationship to your reality, you're in fear right now. You're in a lack of peace in that area. You with me on that?
Yes.
Don't try to get yourself out of it by yourself. Don't try to get yourself out of it by yourself. Don't try to get yourself out of it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. No more doing it by yourself. It's the end. You're going as far as you can go alone. There's no nothing else you can do now on your own. You will not do anything else on your own. It's a point on the spiritual path that you got to get, that you're not alone, because that's your goal. You're saying, I want to join. I want to know I'm connected. I want to feel the love of others. Okay, but if you do, then that means that you cannot go on an ego alien journey with your ego as a guide. You can't go on the journey that's about union with the part of you that believes that feels separate as your guide. It's going to scare the hell out of you, because you're trying to take yourself someplace with the part of you that doesn't know how to do none of it. I'm trying to go to love and peace and openness and trust and joining with the Earl that's suspicious of everything. He's going to take me to God. The part of me that's afraid of you is going to get me to love you. The court is saying, don't you see how insane that is? That you can't go to unity with separation as your guide. You can't go to prosperity with the part of your mind that believes you're in lack as your teacher. You have to resign as your own teacher and allow your higher self to start teaching you instead of you teaching yourself. The court says, why don't you stop trying to teach yourself and let yourself teach you? That was a brilliant statement. Yeah, stop trying to teach yourself and let yourself teach you. Stop being the tail trying to wag the dog. And then, of course, says, well, why should I resign as my own teacher? He says, well, if you're honest and look at the results of what you taught yourself, you'd be glad to. And I gave him the finger. You can't destroy the truth. It's indestructible. Isn't that ridiculous? I don't care how much you try to deny love to yourself, it's still going to get to you. Isn't that ridiculous? I don't care how much we try to create lack for ourselves, we're going to end up being in abundance. I don't care how much we try to limit ourselves, we're going to end up being free. I don't care how much we try to make ourselves sick and deny and deprive ourselves, we're still going to receive everything that we deserve. Man, that's horrible. If a person doesn't love themselves, that is horrible news. If you love yourself, you're like going, yeah. So what you all you have to do is see what you're going through right now is a trick that you're playing on yourself to make yourself believe that you can't be happy. All you have to do is see whatever you're going through right now is making you unhappy in any way as a defense and a plan that you set up to try to convince yourself that the truth isn't true. It will automatically heal and correct itself.
Wow.
It's really funny, you know, because it's like people kind of like, I'm not saying you're doing that, but sometimes people sit back like, okay, let me decide if this is true, because it's not going to be true unless I believe it, you know. I'm the arbiter of what's true, but I'll get back with you. Because what he said couldn't possibly be true unless I agreed. But you could just try it. You could just walk out here tonight and say, this pain that I'm going through in my back is a defense against the truth. This relationship that's causing me pain is a defense against the truth. This job that I don't appreciate is a defense against the truth. This headache that I have right now is just a trick to make me think that I can't have health. This lack that I'm experiencing right now is just a trick to make me think I can't be abundant. This conflict that I'm going through right now is just a trick to make me think I can't have peace. If you say that, that is the truth, then you'll see a healing automatically if that becomes a rule of thought, if that becomes a habit for you, if that becomes, and it didn't say you had to say that and like it, and it didn't say we had to say that and be thrilled about it, it didn't even say we had to say it and believe it. That's what I love about this, because sometimes we think, well, you know, I could say it sort of like this, well, okay, this is defense against the truth. You know, maybe we're not with a whole lot of energy and enthusiasm, but it doesn't make any difference because it's the truth. And I don't have to pretend I don't feel what I feel in order to practice the truth. I can feel what I feel and still tell the truth about it. I don't have to smile but still tell the truth about it. I can feel my anger and still tell the truth about it. Mm-hmm. This anger I got against you is just a plan to make myself believe I can never have peace. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling such a defense against the truth with you right now. I'm going to text you. My text message is a defense against the truth. It's my plan to make myself think I can't have peace in this moment. And I fool myself into thinking I can't have peace in this moment by deciding to blame you, forgetting I decided to blame you so I can really blame you. Because if I don't see the part I play in it, I can really believe you did it to me. Woo! So now the next sentence says, well, why does it look like it's beyond my control? Which is a great question. Why does it look like this stuff that I'm going through is beyond my control? Isn't that a great question? Why does it look like, okay, it says it is this quick forgetting of the part you play in making your so-called reality that makes the defense seem to be beyond your own control. Every time you forget the part you play in making it, then it looks like you have no control over it. As long as you forget the part you made, the part you played in making it, whatever it is, you fill in the it, that's how long it'll look like you have no control over it. So why is it that it looks like things happen to people that they have no control over? Well, if you check with them, they'll probably say they had nothing to do with it happening. So the Course is saying there's a connection between saying I have nothing to do with what's happening to me and things being out of control. Mm-hmm. It's the quick forgetting of the part we play in making the situation that makes it out of our control. Most people want to get in control of their life, control the situation. The Course says, okay, the reason why you don't have control over the situation that you're in right now is because at some level you're not taking any responsibility for what's happening. And when you take responsibility for what's happening, all of a sudden you begin to see that the situation no longer seems to be out of your control. In the beginning, that didn't exactly turn me on because I had used my creative power to create some really sucky stuff. Right? So I didn't really want to believe my thoughts created my reality, because the kind of thoughts I have, the last thing I want is to experience them. So that whole idea that my thoughts will create my reality and I'm the one that's attracting my reality, but I don't like what I am, that doesn't thrill me, because I wouldn't want to experience me. I wouldn't want to attract me, so I don't want to hear this stuff about my reality is being created by me, and I don't love me. I don't want to attract me. Well, I'm like, baby, but you already are attracting you. Everybody around you are attracted to you because of what you are. So what kind of people are you surrounded by? Who are your intimates? Who are the ones that you're close to? That's what you think about yourself. It's good news for me. It was another time I would have shot myself. But I just went on in my life tonight. If this right is what I think about myself, I'm out of here. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. But the Course is saying, okay, would you like to get some control in that situation? Would you like to have some power in that situation? Well, stop forgetting the part that you play in making it happen. Stop saying that there is no connection with your experiencing you. Because as long as you think it's separate from you, then you will not be able to control it. If I thought my arm was separate from me, I couldn't move it. So every time you see yourself as separate from something, you actually give up your influence with it.
Wow. Yuck.
A severed arm is useless to me. An arm united to me, I can move. So every time I go, I'm separate from you, I'm breaking my connection, I'm separate from you, I'm breaking my connection, I'm separate from you. And the more separate people are from each other in their perception, the more they can do things to each other without any remorse. Because it's not me that's getting chopped, it's you.
Wow.
So the more when you're around people that believe in the separation totally, you're around people who are merciless. Because they don't believe that what they're doing is something that's happening to themselves. So they don't care what they do to somebody else. But a person that recognizes that what they do to you, they're doing to themselves, and they're beginning to love themselves, then they're going to give to you what they would like to receive. So they'll see taking care of you as the best thing they could do to make their lives better. Now that's the kind of person you want to be around.
Yeah.
That's what you want to be. You want to be around somebody that goes, your happiness is absolutely increases mine. Your good absolutely increases mine. You're doing what you like to do to please you. Honey, I can't wait till you do it because it's going to make my life so much better. See, that's the kind of person you want to be in a relationship with. Tell me what you want so I can nurture you and support you and having it, because you know what? You having it and feeling good is going to make my experience so much better. Come on, let's do it. See, being around a person that's going toward oneness and going toward connection and unity and relationship, now that's the kind of person you want to be around. And they still have a cool fashion sense. It's not like you sacrifice anything. There's such thing as a cute person that got some sense.
Woo.
I know it looks like the sexy people are the crazy ones. I know. I know. I've known some of the hottest, crazy women you could ever know. That was wonderful. Except when the drama started. Because the drama always starts with people who think they're separate from you. You can count on it. You just wonder, when is it going to show up? Because as long as they think that I'm separate from them, then at some point they're going to start judging, and at some point they're going to start criticizing and seeing me as different. And guess what? They got to do the plan. What's the plan? They got to blame me for what they're going through, and they forget that they were the one that made themselves go through it, because they don't believe they deserve to be happy. So they're going to have to sabotage this relationship, and they're going to do it by blaming me and taking no responsibility for what's happened. You know that when soon you said 5 minutes of conversation. After 5 minutes of conversation, you know. You know, after 5 minutes of conversation, where you're talking to somebody that's going to be drama for you, or you're talking to somebody that's going to be peaceful for you, if you begin to wake up to what this is saying. Yeah, I'm saying bad just to be nice. But the same thing is true for the loving ones. The same thing is true for the supportive ones. The same thing is true for the ones that would appreciate you. You will recognize them in 5 minutes, and what will start to happen is they will become the majority of the people in your experience, and so you'll experience so much peace and love through your friends and relationships and connections that when you do run up on a part of yourself that's totally insane, that you've asked to act out the plan on yourself, you'll know how to handle that one by seeing what they crazy, angry person is projecting on you is just a call for love and just a trick to make you forget the truth that you could have more loving people in your life. Oh, you just trying to make me think I couldn't have a peaceful day. It just not going to work. You trying to make me think that I don't deserve love. No, come what you're saying. No, I know I deserve more peace than what you're giving me right now. That's okay. You cool. Like, what's wrong, baby? What's wrong? Why are you so sad? What are you afraid of? You need some love. Talk to me. Tell me what's going on with you right now. You just want to be heard. That's all. Communicate. I'm all ears. Listen to me. Now listen to you. So the person's terrified. That's why they're acting a fool. That's why they're going crazy. That's why they're cussing you out. They're afraid. They're insane with fear. They're trying to convince themselves that they're the lousy person that they think they are subconsciously. They're trying to provoke attack because they believe they deserve to be punished. So they're trying to do something so somebody would hurt them. The murderer wants to die. Please don't practice the golden rule on anybody until you love yourself. Please don't do unto me what you do unto yourself. Please break the golden rule with me, please. If you do me a favor and don't practice the golden rule with me.
me.
Okay.
The way you treat yourself, please don't treat me.
Do unto others as you have them others do unto you. That's cool if you're seeing yourself correctly and seeing the other person correctly. That's crap. If you were the person that doesn't love themselves and they hate themselves and don't appreciate themselves, then they're going to treat you the way they think they deserve to be treated, so you could seem like you're being real nice and look like they're treating you wrong, because they're wanting punishment and attack and separation. They're wanting you to make what they think about themselves at a subconscious level be true, which is that they're worthless and valueless. So just by you loving them, you're actually calling them a lie about what they believe about themselves. And they'll work even harder to make you upset, because they want to see you get to the level that they're on in fear. Have you noticed that? How when you can be, somebody can be really, really upset with you and you being calm, and they really, really going off and you being calm, and then when you finally lose it, then they get calm. But that's all they wanted anyway, was to get you to get to the same level that they were coming from. They were trying to equalize the situation because they believed that they had already been weakened by somebody's attack.
Sure.
So they think that attack is how you equalize situations. And so they were attacking you to try to get you on the level that they were on. And as soon as they did, they cool, because they didn't want to be alone in their misery. And that's why most people who don't know what love is form relationships. They form relationships so they don't have to be alone in their misery. I'm a miserable person, but at least I get you on the sofa next to me, baby. So we go miserable together. And we've been miserable together for 37 years. We got an anniversary next week. Our body's been under the same roof for 37 years, and we're going to have a dinner. We haven't spoken in 37 years. That's why we've been together for 37 years. But people don't know that. That's not a relationship. A relationship isn't two bodies being together with no communication, no joining, no reaching out. People in the world, of course, they think that bodies being together is a relationship, and that as long as their bodies together, they can keep their minds separate and private and apart. That's why sometimes when you want to communicate, if you're in a special relationship, your partner want to make love to you. It's to shut you up. To the ego, the mind is private and only the body can be shared. To a person that doesn't know the truth, it's all about sharing the body.
Yeah.
To someone that recognizes the truth, they know that it's about sharing the mind. Because once me and you are on the same wavelength, then everything we do through our body is going to be much more peaceful and joyful and fun.
Mm-hmm.
You want to join minds first. The body will take care of itself. But if you join with the body without checking out the mind, then you're going to be going through something with a person that you might not want to go through, because you didn't realize that you were hooking up with the way they think. And it's the way they think that's going to be your mate. But making love to somebody that you feel innocent with, that you feel supported by, that you feel one with, it can be no guilt whatsoever, so you feel innocent about whatever it is you're about, and you're not going to be condemned, and you're not going to judge each other by what you do or don't do, or how you do it. Whew, that's the way you want to do it, when you don't have any fear between you, no doubt that you're safe. It's out of that you experience real passion and real lovemaking. One of my goals was to experience innocent sex. I knew guilt to sex.
Mm-hmm.
The sex that you wonder should you have had it?
Yeah.
That's guilty sex. If you ever have sex and go, my organ is purple. Was that a mistake? Was that a little guilt? Do I have a little guilt about that? What I did last night? We all know, you won't punish yourself about something you feel innocent about. You punish yourself about something you don't feel is right. It's not that what you're getting ready to do is wrong. It's just that your guilt feelings tell you that you think it's wrong, which means you're going to punish yourself for doing it. And that's what people don't understand. The thing is neutral. But whether you should do it or not is dependent on how you feel. And if you know you don't feel peace about it, you know you don't feel innocent about it, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means you're going to punish yourself because you think it's wrong.
Yeah.
So when you get through doing it, you're going to think the price you have to pay for pleasure is pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to pay for every pleasure with the coins of suffering. Yeah. So it really was good last night. Boy, I got a headache this morning. I got to pay for what I did last night with suffering. That's what the guilty mind does. Yeah. Every time a guilty mind gives itself any kind of cool thing, it has to follow it up with some kind of drama or crap in order to pay for what it just did. And the court is saying, you need to get off of that system.
Yeah.
We deserve to do things, and we feel so good about doing it, and we feel so connected about it that we couldn't possibly feel any guilt about something that is so cool. It wouldn't even cross your mind because you knew it was so divine. That's where we're going. That's the world we're going into. It's just a little, just a little catch that's not a real little catch, which is, I need to be it to have it. I need to be it. I need to be this way myself. I got to be what I want to have. And y'all can do it. I have faith in you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because you can't fail. There's no, the system wasn't set up for you to fail. So you can't fail. You can just delay yourself. And there's nothing that feels more futile and hopeless than to be at the branch of the road and not deciding which way to go.
Yeah.
You know you got to make that choice. Some of y'all in this room know exactly what I'm talking about. You know you back, you come back around again, and you know you got to make a choice. Whether you're going to do it different this time, or you're going to go back through that loop. What? And I'm saying, if you come this far, you can't make a wrong decision. So don't worry about it. All right, can we acknowledge ourselves?
Let's thank whoever talked through this also. Whoever, I'm so glad that my greatest self shows up for me.
I want y'all to bear with me just a second. I know it's pretty close to 8 o'clock, but I'd like to have some cool intense. I'm telling you, I don't know about you all, but I can't believe it's 17 days old. You know, it's a lot that happened to me in the last, think about your experience. Look what you said, a lot that happened to you in the last 17 days. This thing started out like, come on, here we go. We're going for a ride. And we're going to where we really want to go because we got each other, so we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. You're welcome to come to the church, a wonderful church service that is just a defense against the truth. It's just a plan that I come up with to try to convince me that I can't have blank. In other words, if my problem is lack, I say that lack is a defense against the truth to try to convince me I can't have my abundance. If it's loneliness, my loneliness is just a defense against the truth. It's just a plan to fool myself. But we don't call it a defense against the truth. Because if you have revealed to you what the plan is trying to hide from you, then there's no point in having the plan anymore. If lack is a plan that you're using to make you forget your abundance, but then you say, well, my lack is a defense against my abundance, then there's no point to the lack anymore, because the lack isn't shielding you from the idea of your abundance. And so the lack has no purpose, and then it will automatically begin to disappear, but in ways that work for you as a human being. It might look to you like you got a raise, or it might look to you that something got paid off, or it might look to you all of a sudden that things are going a little bit easier for you. For somebody else, it'll just be a more direct experience of the abundance, depending on your level of consciousness. But the once you identify, like you said, I'm afraid, okay? I'm making myself afraid. That's just a defense against the truth. It's just a defense against me knowing that I really deserve love. And that is how you get past the block. So that's really the answer. Now the challenge is, will you use such a simple, powerful method consistently, or will you half-heartedly say it one time and go back to the old plan of, I'm just a victim of this stuff that's going, no, it's a recession. That's why houses aren't selling. That's why I don't have abundance. You see what I'm saying? That's the old plan. Now I'm back to, it's something outside of me that's making me feel this way. That's the old plan. No matter what form it takes, that's the old plan. So when you find yourself falling for the old plan again, catch yourself and go, oh, using the old plan is just a defense against using the new plan. Using the old plan is a defense against the truth. Doing it the way I used to do it is just a trick to make me think I can't have it different now. You with me? Okay, so here we go. I'm going to say it for the group a few times. Take a breath now. You know your situation. Call it a trick. It's a trick. It's a trick you're trying to play on yourself to make you think you can't have that solution. It's just a defense against the truth. It's just a defense against the truth of my love. It's a defense against the truth. This problem is a defense against the truth. This upset is a defense against the truth. This jealousy is a defense against the truth. This anger is a defense against the truth. And when you make that new choice, and all of a sudden things are beginning to change, and you're really beginning to fundamentally change your thought system, and all of a sudden you get ready to take out your secret magic wand. I got a new one for you. Sickness is a defense against the truth. 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 Upset is a defense against the truth. Upset is a defense against the truth. Lack is a defense against the truth. Lack is a defense against the truth. Loneliness is a defense against the truth. Loneliness is a defense against the truth. So you'll go, I have a defense against the truth going on right now, and it's taking the form of me not having been able to pay my utility bill. I'm having a defense against the truth right now, and it's taking the form of me really having a bad cold. I'm having a defense against the truth right now. You see what I'm saying? You got your own particular form, but at the beginning, tell yourself it's a defense against the truth. It's a trick. It's a plan that your old self is trying to pull on you to make you think your new self cannot manifest.
Yeah.
You got to claim it right at the very beginning. Oh, this is a trick. This is a trick. What? That's a defense against the truth. This backache is a defense against the truth. Being on the job, this is a defense against the truth that I really deserve what I really deserve. If you will start calling it a trick, then it's no a trick that you can't be tricked by is a trick that won't trick you no more. Isn't that right? Put the light up back there for me, y'all. Okay? So then what you do is with the people in your life and you see them going through it, silently to yourself you go, oh, okay, what they're going through is a defense against the truth. And that way you'll keep it to the forefront of your mind all the time. And a defense that doesn't work, the mind automatically discards a defense that doesn't work. If it's not making you forget what you're supposed to forget, if you're not forgetting the truth, if it's making you remember the truth, then you will no longer have a defense. All right, so take a breath. I'm going to say a little pardon prayer. This problem that we think we have is just a defense against the truth. We will accept the truth of who we are. We will accept the truth of who we are. And we will let our minds be totally healed today. I will let my mind be totally healed today. I will let my mind be totally healed today. I will let my mind be totally healed today. I will let my mind be totally healed today. I will let my mind be totally healed today. I will let my mind be totally healed. Join me, brothers and sisters. I will let my mind be totally healed today. I will let my mind be totally healed today. I will let my mind be totally healed today. I will let my mind be totally healed today. I will let my mind be totally healed today. I will let my mind be totally healed today. I forgive myself for what I did not do. I forgive myself for what I did not do. I forgive myself for what I did not do. I forgive myself for what I did not do. I forgive myself for what I did not do. I forgive myself for what I did not do. I forgive myself for what I did not do. I forgive myself for what I did not do. I forgive myself for what I did not do. I forgive myself for what I did not do. I forgive myself for what I did not do. Conflict is a defense against the truth. Conflict is a defense against the truth.
truth. Lack is a defense against the truth. Go past your lack. Lack is a defense against the truth. Jealousy is a defense against the truth. Jealousy is a defense against the truth. Anger is a defense against the truth. Anger is a defense against. Now, here's the last thing. I am entitled to miracles. I am entitled to miracles. What you say? I am entitled to miracles. Love yourself. I am entitled to miracles. Now open your eyes and look around the room. Look in each other's eyes. And this is what you want to say. You are entitled to miracles. Get out your box. You are entitled to miracles. Give what you want to receive. You are entitled to miracles. One more time. You are entitled to miracles. Appreciate y'all so much. 1 o'clock on Sunday, the next call. Who is now available? You're a blessing in my life. Thank you so much.